Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, over 2 million of you, I would guess, have gone on to the Drudge Report over the last 24 hours. You've gone to WorldNet Daily, you've gone to the MichaelSavage.com, and you've seen the travesty that has emerged. You have seen that the WikiLeaks dump of emails from the Clinton camp have produced several revelations. One of the revelations is that for the first time there is an email from Mrs. Clinton herself to one of her workers saying, let us hold off on Savage. Let's hold on doing anything until we all talk. It is called Sharia Law, S-H-E-R-I-A Law. Bottom line is, Clinton kept Savage on the hate list. Clinton declined to help lift Savage's UK ban. This is a major story for those of you who are following First Amendment issues in America and around the world. We know that the deplorable candidate on the left will do this to you. And when they came for Michael Savage, Fox News was not there because they're not Michael Savage. When they came for Michael Savage, NBC, CBS, ABC was not there because they're not Michael Savage. But strangely enough, way back when this happened in 2009, CNN came to me and they did an interview with me on this whole issue of being banned in Britain. And I have that 2-minute interview, which we'll play for you. You'll find out how far Fox has fallen, that even the old CNN was ahead of them. We also have a Savage BBC vintage radio interview on my being banned in Britain with BBC Radio. Many of you say, well, who cares? What do I care? I'm a big shot in the talk radio business. I'm a big shot in television. I don't need it. What do I care about Savage? Let him, screw him, throw him off the air. Well, that's exactly why she's going to become president, and that's exactly why when they came for Savage, you should have defended me. But because you're all so minuscule, you're such mini-men, all of you in the media, that you don't understand that by not circling the wagons, even with an individual you are competing with, you are basically digging your own grave. So let me go back to the beginning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are in the news business. Some of you are in the politics business. Some of you understand the ramifications of this case. It's the biggest one. The bottom line is that I appealed to Hillary Clinton when I was banned in Britain while she was Secretary of State. My British lawyer asked her to fight for me to lift me from a travel ban to the UK. Now, what happened was pretty shocking. Here I am, a talk show host who does not advocate violence, who advocates patriotic traditional values, borders, language, culture, who found himself on a list not to be allowed to enter England. That's what I told the BBC. And I said, what does that say about the government of England? It says more about them than it does about me. I was on put on a list of terrorists, neo-Nazi murderers, neo-Nazi murderers who were imprisoned for killing Jewish children on buses, all because of my speech in America. And I said, this is the nation where the Magna Carta was created. And so what I did was, is I appealed to Mrs. Clinton. I had my lawyers in England wrote her a very lengthy letter, which she received, and she refused to help me. In fact, if you read the article on WorldNet Daily, you could link it up on MichaelSavage.com. Directly on my own website. The article's right there, WorldNet Daily exclusive, Sharia Law, Hillary kept Michael Savage on hate list. You'll find an email, a copy of the email, from hrod17@clintonmail.com. This is through WikiLeaks. Do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea this is the first time we actually see an email from Mrs. Clinton about me? What did she say? Did she say, I'm going to help Michael Savage even though I detest his politics? Did she say, I detest the man's politics, but I will help him because he's an American citizen and I am his representative as Secretary of State, and we believe all Americans are entitled to freedom of speech? No, it's not what she said. She said something else. It said, subject, Savage holding pattern, and next steps. It was sent to Mills, Cheryl D. Mills. Any of you in the audience know the name Cheryl D. Mills? Kind of a prominent woman in the Clinton administration right now. And then Cheryl Mills sent an email to Jacob J. Sullivan. Isn't he a continuous player? Isn't he still up there in the camp? In a second email to Clinton on the same day, Clinton's legal counsel Mills wrote on Michael Savage, Joan wanted everyone to clearly understand before any further discussion occurred with UK that Savage's exclusion should also have occurred under our legal regime. Listen to this. Savage's exclusion could also have occurred under our own legal regime. So to the extent we want to suggest to UK that his exclusion on free speech grounds is inappropriate or anything of that like, that we should understand we may appear slightly hypocritical given our legal regime and actions. Do you know what that means? Can anyone raise their hand in the audience who's not interested in who Trump nudged in 1402? Who Trump nudged on the Nina de Pinta and the Santa Maria while Columbus was discovering America? That's something that you leave to Fox News. You leave that to Blondie. Let Snow White cover the touching. That's what she's good for. Let the other little stooges at Fox News, let the puppets at Fox News cover the touching. Because this is more touching. This touches our First Amendment. And it occurs in writing from Hillary Clinton, from Mills, from Jacob Sullivan, where they say the UK ban against Savage could happen in the US on the same grounds, according to the woman who likely will be White House counsel should Clinton be elected. Meaning, don't help me today, because you're all such big shots in the media. You know what's amazing? This story was on the Drudge Report since yesterday. It's a blockbuster. It's actually the first story where Mrs. Clinton's email is actually seen through WikiLeaks. I don't see her name in any other emails. Do you know that not one television show will book me for this story? To show you how fascistic this government has controlled, this fascistic government has now taken control of the entire media. Every last one of them is now controlled by this Democrat machine. None of them will have me speak about this issue. I only have this radio show for how long, I don't know. I don't know how long this will be allowed. I have no idea. But I thank the people who give me this ability to get the truth out, because what I am saying to you today has deep ramifications for everyone in the news business, everyone in the commentary business, everyone in the media business will be affected by the outcome of this particular case. It's bigger than you may think. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than one man. It's bigger than the First Amendment itself. It goes to the heart of who this woman is, and is she qualified to be president? If she would not help me as an American citizen, why would she help you? The answer is, maybe she will, maybe she won't. For example, if you are a radical leftist who wants to blow up Republican campaign headquarters and go visit a fascist dictatorship, maybe she'll help you get there. I appealed to Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State to defend my First Amendment rights. She refused to do so. Why did she refuse to do so? I will read you the letter that my attorney wrote. I was banned by the government's top Homeland Security official in 2009. Along with terrorists and neo-Nazi murderers, on the pretext that my views might provoke violence. Now, the interesting thing is, my show was not even heard in England. Then Home Secretary Jackie Smith, an altogether unsavory individual, said she decided to publicize the list of 16 people banned since October to show the type of behavior Britain will not tolerate. Isn't that interesting? Britain will not tolerate such behavior as mine? It isn't even behavior, it's speech. You mean, but she tolerates Muslims who say Sharia law, kill the queen, will take over the government, that she tolerates? It's pure hypocrisy and cowardice in England, but we've expected that from Britain under the latest round of rulers. Did you expect that in your own nation? I am a talk show host who does not advocate violence, or I wouldn't be on the radio. I simply advocate patriotic traditional values, borders, language, culture, and yet I'm banned from England. I'm lumped in with Hamas leader Yunus al-Astal, former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard Stephen Donald Black, neo-Nazi Eric Gleeb, radical American pastor Fred Phelps. I'm on that list. Others on the list are Russian skinhead leaders, Islamic leader Wagdi Abd al-Hamid Mohammed Ghanim, Abdullah Qadri al-Ahdal, Safwa Khijazi, Amir Sadiq, Abdul Al-Mousa, Sami Al-Kunta, and Nasser Javed. I'm on their list? How could a nation put me on a list and leave hate preachers in England who say that? We're going to kill all of you. We're going to convert all of you to Islam. How is it possible that those hate preachers can't be deported from Britain, but I can be banned from Britain? People who advocate actual murder cannot be deported from Britain? Mrs. Clinton, if any of you are listening to me, I know you detest me, but I'm asking you a simple question. How is it that liberalism has gotten so distorted and cowardly? How is it that there are no liberals left in your government, Mrs. Clinton, of the old-style liberals who used to be my teachers who said, I may not agree with you, but I would do what? To protect your freedom? What would liberals used to say? I may not agree with you, but I would go to my death to defend your rights to speak. What happened to that form of liberalism, Mrs. Clinton? There's a lot more to the story. It's called Banned in Britain, Beating a Liberal Blacklist. I haven't beaten it. And we're trying to get the copy to you of this whole story. I had long forgotten this case until we ran a search of the WikiLeaks papers. And actually, I was quite shocked to see an email from Hillary Clinton about yours truly, Michael Savage. I was honored, by the way, that they consider me so important that they wouldn't even protect me. I was quite honored to see that Hillary Clinton herself stepped in and said, let's do nothing. And the reason they said, let's do nothing, is because her lawyer, Cheryl Mills, said that the rules in England for banning people are the same as the rules we have here. So if we help Savage, it could turn around on us, and therefore we may not be able to throw people out of the country, or let's say forbid people from coming into the country. It's a very interesting question. I mean, if Hillary becomes president, is she going to deport Americans who are patriotic? Will she use this now to deport people from America who she doesn't agree with? Will she say that they're hateful and they can't stay in this country? Do you have any idea what I'm... Does anyone out there know what the hell I'm talking about? Does anyone out there have any idea what the heck I'm talking about? I sometimes feel as though I'm talking to myself. I'm living in a numb nation. It's no longer the savage nation. It's the numbed nation. It's the drugged nation. It's like a sleep. Unless you say Democrat, Republican, unless you say Trump, they don't respond. They're like dead lab rats. And the only electricity that'll run through them is the word Trump. But the lab rats are dead. Unresponsive. And now you understand the danger we are all in. This whole world that you are enjoying right now, this world of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of the internet, is dissolving in front of your eyes. The snake in the White House, the demon in the White House, Barry Obama, last week transferred the control of the internet to Europe. Did you know that? And nothing happened. There wasn't a peep from one of the fake Republican two-faced phonies in the Congress. He just turned it over to Europe. My friends, there's so much at stake today that we're going to talk about freedom of speech today. Do you have any idea what the sewer and how deep the sewer is? Do you know how deep the sewer pipe is that runs right into the Democrat machine? Do you know how deep the sewer is dug and what they will do to destroy your freedoms? I have for you a few things that you got to know about. One is you want to read this for yourself. That I know. What you want to read is not only the article on Sharia law, Sharia law, Clinton kept Savage on a hate list. It's on the top of michaelsavage.com. It's on WND. But in a few moments, we're going to post a copy of the original book that was published on this issue back in 09. And I self-published this book. Of all my books, I had to self-publish this. Hardcover, 175 pages. It has all the letters back and forth, including, shockingly, Hillary Clinton's letter, which has never been seen before. Savage calls on Hillary, my letter to the Secretary of State. I'll summarize it for you in a few minutes. And I believe she never answered me. I don't think I received an answer from her. I have the original letter I wrote to Mrs. Clinton. I will read it again today in my last appeal before the election for Hillary Clinton to show all American people they have nothing to fear from her. I am appealing to Hillary Clinton to show America and the world that she is not as deplorable as everyone fears. She is not as dictatorial as everyone fears. She's not as nuts as everyone fears. That, in fact, if she becomes president, which probably is more than 50-50 right now, if she becomes president, she will defend Americans on both sides of the aisle. She will not provoke a civil war by only talking to one side of the American electorate. There's another 50% of us who are not going to go away quietly into the night. Forget about me. There are millions of us. Millions of us. And remember this, all of those of you who are listening to me for the first time. This country is more divided today than it has ever been in my entire lifetime. It's divided because of the divider-in-chief, Barry Obama, who has used race and class warfare to divide America. America was coming together. America was healing. And this community organizer came along and divided us, turned black against white, white against black, gay against straight, straight against gay. He has turned everybody against everybody, young against old, the haves and the have-nots. And he walks around like he's Mr. Uniter. He has divided the nation. He has caused the schizophrenia. And let me give you the quotient I came up with. It's 50-50. 50 for her, 50 for Trump, right? Well, there's a little difference between the 50% of the populations. You want to hear them? On one side, we have 50% of the population who was for Hillary Clinton. Of that 50%, 80% or more pay no taxes. Of the 50% who support Trump, 80% pay all of the taxes. That's my quotient. You didn't hear it on CNN. You didn't read it in the New York Times. You heard it from Michael Savage. I'll be back in a minute to follow up on the story. And we are expecting a very big guest today. No, it hasn't been confirmed. Been turned down. We don't know, but we're expecting a huge guest today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I appeal to you to read Scorched Earth. I also appeal to you in another manner. Your freedom of speech is at stake right now. Hillary Clinton has an obligation to defend all American citizens, even though she hates.
Savage.
Welcome back to the program. If the national anthem was a little quicker, they'd still have a nation. But apparently they all are drinking too much cognac over there for too many years, looking how nice they look in the mirror. I mean, if the British men looked at the women instead of looking at themselves in the mirror, they might still have a nation. But we're not Britain. A few things that are different between us and the United Kingdom. One is we have a First Amendment, they don't. The second is we have a Second Amendment, and they don't. The third thing is we have a presidential election where both the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Amendments are up in the air. One candidate will support the First, Second, and Third, and Fourth Amendments. The other will attack the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Amendments. Do I have to spell it out for you? Life under Trump, death under Clinton is more real now than ever before. The first chapter of my best-selling book, Scorched Earth, is entitled Life Under Trump, Death Under Clinton, in which I lay out the dangers this nation faces from another Obama turn under the leadership of Mrs. Clinton. This weekend, we found out how dangerous this administration under the Clinton camp would be. WikiLeaks has been releasing emails from Mrs. Clinton and her cohorts for over a week. And this story has been buried by the news, who would rather talk about the alleged abuse of women by Donald Trump. That is a coordinated effort in collusion with her campaign and the news media. Don't think otherwise. It's a disgrace to think that men as small as Jake Tappet, Wolfie the Blinker Blitzer, two of the most shameful men in American history. If ever that there was a catalog of shameful men, those two would be at the Pantheon. The big story on the Drudge Report all weekend long was how Hillary Clinton refused to use her power and influence as a Secretary of State to get an illegal and unfair ban lifted for the most important voice in the conservative movement, Michael Savage. She personally killed my chance to be able to go to England. She refused to defend my rights to free travel and free speech. Why did she do this? By passively not intervening on my behalf, she actively agreed with the British government. Do you understand that? That by not acting when she had the power to act, she was in fact agreeing with them? What does this mean for you? Listen to me very carefully. Let's say you're Snow White on Fox News, and right now you think you're flying high. Let's think that because They fired Roger Ailes, and Rupert Murdoch has a glint in his eye for you, and you are now the superstar of Fox News, and you would still have rather have a rapist or a pimp or a terrorist or a gun runner or a child molester on the show than the proudest voice of free speech in this country. It says you're not long for free speech yourself, because you yourself have thrown away the rights that you were entitled to. You were given the rights, Mrs. Snow White, and you, Leprechaun. You were given this power, and this power has responsibilities attached to it. It was not about you, Leprechaun, and you, Snow White. You have an obligation to the American people who believe in you with your stinking books and your lying broadcasts. But they now know who you are. Underneath that smile, Blondie, is something filthy. And underneath that clean Mr. Leprechaun, take a look at the chain of violence in his life. What? What happened now? You're pointing at something. We have a special guest for you right now. The best guest in the whole world that we could have right now. A day that I am fighting for my life. Donald Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation, Mr. Trump. What a day it is.
It's been great, Michael. We've had a good day, I will tell you.
Well, I don't want to talk about me, but Donald, this is such a big story. Did you see the email that was released over the weekend by WikiLeaks where Hillary Clinton refused to intervene on my being banned in Britain?
That I haven't seen. I saw the one with the FBI, where the FBI is in cahoots with the Department of State, State Department, and with the Justice Department. That is a big story, I guess.
Donald, this was on the Drudge Report for 24 hours. One of the WikiLeaks releases showed an email with her name on it from Hillary Clinton at the time, saying she was not going to intervene to get my name off the ban list to Cheryl Mills. This is major league, Donald, but it's so tied into what you represent. I say it's life under Trump and death under Clinton, and I mean the death of our First and Second Amendments for sure. Mr. Trump, you are the only thing we have left between us and pure anarchy.
Well, it's going very well. I guess polls just came out from CNN an hour ago, and they have us up by 4 in Ohio and doing really well everywhere. And this, despite the press that's horrible, phony, they print lies, they want to put lies on all the time, and you see it better than anybody. They have stories that are fabricated, and they put them on the front page of total lies that they're willing to print on the front page of newspapers. And despite
Donald, where do they get all of these tarts from? Where do these tarts come from?
Michael, there's a backlash like I've never seen before. I just heard from Mike Pence. He said there's a backlash like he's never seen. People know it's all phony stuff. And that's why I say the election's rigged. It's rigged by the media. They're willing to put front page stories on that are lies, and the elections are rigged by the media. And by the way, they're also, if you look at the polls and the polling places in various cities, they're also rigged in the cities. Let's not kid ourselves, in different places.
Well, Donald, we know that. And here's the nightmare that I see. Here we are on the verge of war with Russia because of the insane policies of Hillary Clinton, who called him Hitler, Barack Obama, who called him every name under the sun, who wants a war with him in Syria. We see war drums being beaten by even the likes of Joseph Biden. You have said you'd like to do a deal with Putin and make peace. How is it that the party of leftists wants war, Mr. Trump?
Well, they're incompetent people. Obama's an incompetent as a president, and Hillary Clinton is beyond that. Look, they made an agreement on nuclear warheads. Russia now has gotten so far ahead of us in a nuclear capacity that they better be careful what they wish for. In fact, one of the top people in Russia said, "I can't believe the agreement we made." You know what I'm talking about. "I can't believe the agreement we made. They didn't even ask us for anything. They asked us not to reduce anything." So we're way behind in so many different ways, and we have very, very incompetent people leading us. And she talks tough with Russia. She shouldn't be talking so tough. She ought to know what she's doing. And frankly, if we got along with Russia and knocked out ISIS, that would be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Correct. Mr. Trump, look at these headlines. Russia orders all officials to fly home. Any relatives living abroad as tensions mount over the prospect of a global war. CNN, Russia, U.S. move past Cold War to unpredictable confrontation. Nuclear war imminent as Russia tells citizens to find out where the closest bunkers are. And this low-grade media of sub-moronic idiots running in the media are talking about some tart who says you accidentally brushed against her on an airplane 20 years ago? What kind of world are we living in, Donald?
Which, by the way, didn't exist. They were made-up stories, totally made up. And it's disgusting, and you're right. And now, whenever there's anything with Russia, they say, oh, well, Russia loves Donald Trump, and Putin loves Donald Trump. And they insult him constantly. I mean, no wonder he can't stand Obama and Hillary Clinton. But it is a very serious problem. I think it's the worst. It's the worst situation we've had with Russia since the end of the Cold War, by far.
Donald, here's what scares me as a talk show host. You know that I've studied the news, and I do nothing but the news day and night. I do nothing else. What they're setting you up for is that if you win the election, which could happen, by the way, you're not out yet at all. They're trying to discourage Republicans and conservatives from voting, in my opinion, because they know that you're ahead in the polls. Their own internal polls are showing you surging. They're setting it up so that if you win, this illegitimate government will claim that the Russians hacked the election and it is an illegitimate election, Donald. That's what I see coming. Do you agree with that possibility?
Well, I think this. I do think we're probably ahead because we have tremendous enthusiasm. Our people are going to all vote, and I think a lot of people, for instance, I think we're going to do very well with African Americans. I think we're going to do very well with Hispanics, Latinos. I think we're going to do very well in a lot of different ways, and I think we are ahead in the polls. And our people have enthusiasm. They're going to vote, whereas her people, they're very worried. For instance, I'm going now to, you know, I'm going to Wisconsin. We have a huge crowd. I'm going tomorrow to Colorado. We have a tremendous crowd. I'm going to Ohio and Florida, and we have 20, 25, 30,000 people all the time. She can't get 500 people into a room. It's crazy.
I know that. Look, Donald, listen, how would you defuse the situation now between Russia and the U.S., assuming the world doesn't blow up before January? What would you do if you were president? First day, what would you do with Putin to stop these war drums?
Well, the problem is we have Putin has no respect for Obama at all. Doesn't like him and doesn't respect him. And Obama doesn't like Putin, but they have a great dislike for each other. And Putin has no respect at all for Obama. And I think that you have potentially a really catastrophic situation here, I'll be honest with you, because those two are not... I will say this. If I win on November 8th, and hopefully every one of your listeners is going to go out, we're going to need everybody.
Absolutely.
So Republicans have a tougher path, you know that, to get there.
Yes.
But
yes.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration. I think it would be
wild. Wow. That's an amazing news story. That's fabulous, Mr. Trump. That's an amazing answer. Because somebody, an adult, has to step in now and stop this insanity. We are dealing with the most powerful nuclear foe on the planet. While Obama, as you said, has denuked us, Russia's been building up their nuclear forces. It puts us in a very bad situation. So that's, to me, the number one thing is national security. There's so many other things that you need to do when you are president. But before you go, Donald, listen, this is very important. I have seen this, and I think you just hinted at it. The whole election hinges on turnout. That is why the media is trying to make people think you've already lost the election. It's not so much to encourage the Hillary voters, it's to discourage the Trump voters who should throw their hands up and say, we can't win. That's the worst thing that could happen. Their internal polls, according to my analysis, shows that they're in deep trouble. And they are desperate to get the voter turnout. But we need to keep the voter turnout up even higher than she does.
Well, I think their polls are showing that our people are going to turn out, and their people, they're very worried about it, because nobody cares about Hillary Clinton, and Obama's people aren't going to. African-Americans are not showing up to vote for Hillary Clinton. They like me better than they like her. And I tell you what, I'm going to do a better job, and certainly with the inner cities and all of these problems that they've been lying about for years, Clinton and the Democrats, and I think we're going to do great with the African-Americans. But I'll tell you this, just in a nutshell, they are very worried that their people aren't going to turn out. That's what they, and they know my people are turning out.
Donald, this Wednesday is the last of three debates. You won the last debate. I watched every minute of it. They never thought you were going to come back. You were doing a rope-a-dope on them, and you cut the legs out from under her when she threw that line at you, and she said, it's a good thing a man like him isn't president, and you shot back, or you'd be in jail. That turned the whole debate. What are you going to do this Wednesday if Meatloaf Jr. tries to set you up? Because Murdoch himself has advised all of them to back Hillary Clinton. What are you going to do when Meatloaf Jr. goes after you?
Well, we're going to find out what's going to happen. I mean, the first debate, I think we did very well. We had a very faulty microphone, as you know, and they even officially announced it, which was absolutely outrageous. There's a whole thing going on there, too. But I think we're going to do very well in the debate. I understand the subject matter very well. I don't think she does. I think she, frankly, is a highly overrated intellect. She does not understand the subject. You look at the decisions she's made over the years, Dave, every one of them virtually has been a wrong decision. Whether it's Syria, Libya, I mean, just look at what she's done. Including when she was the senator from New York, she said she was going to bring jobs back to upstate. Well, you know what happened. It turned out to be a disaster. So the bottom line, I think, I look forward to the debate. I think we're going to do very well. I understand the subject matter very, very well. And I'm representing a lot of people.
Donna, last point. Did you know Mike Wallace at all? I'm sure you knew him well.
Very well. He did me on 60 Minutes. He was terrific.
Here's my suggestion. Don't even answer me because I don't know if you can. If his son, who I call Meatloaf Jr., for internal reasons, it's a joke, because his father was a famous meatloaf eater. If Meatloaf Jr., who's a sneak in my opinion, don't answer me, tries to set you up the way Snow White did during the primaries, you know, all you got to do is say to him, you know, your father, Mike Wallace, would never have stooped to your low level. You will put him on the defensive because he is probably living in his father's shadow.
Well, I understand. I just hope he's going to be fair. And, you know, I didn't think they were fair with me the last debate, and I hit back at him pretty hard. I hope they're going to be fair, Michael.
We hope so, and we're all rooting for you. We know we won't hear from you until way after the debate, but just know that every listener to this show, and that ranges in the millions around the country on the Internet and otherwise, this is the number one talk radio show in America on the Internet, Donald. And all of them are interested in everything that you have to say because it comes down to this. Life under Trump, death under Clinton. It's absolutely life and death in terms of our First and Second Amendments at the very least. So we all are rooting for you, Donald, and we wish you the best this Wednesday and thereafter.
Thank you, Michael. Great honor. And I will see you soon and we'll speak to you sooner than you think, okay?
I have that umbrella ready for the inauguration.
Very good. You have a deal. You'll be there.
All right. Good luck, Donald. We're all rooting for you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hello, rednecks. Hello, all of you who cling to your God, guns, and whatever else you cling to. What a day this has been so far. We're almost through hour one, and I haven't even gotten started with the email, the letter, actually, that Mrs. Clinton wrote that has never before been disclosed until it was disclosed in 2009. And forgotten. But you never saw the letter I wrote to Mrs. Clinton. You never heard about it. It's all in my book, Banned in Britain, which unfortunately was struggling to get up for you. I had to find the copies. We had to post the copies. We're putting it up on Amazon Kindle. It'll be up in the next 48 hours. You will see all the documents before it's too late. Because if she becomes president, my guess is this book will be banned and that file will be purged and blocked. Because Barry Obama transferred the internet to a European holding company just last week. Right in front of your eyes, he snatched the internet away from us. He gave it to a non-profit in Los Angeles, controlled by who? By which deplorable? Be here, Donald Trump was.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Savage States of America.
For all of you deplorables out there, welcome to hour number two. If you missed hour number one, you're screwed. I'm sorry. What you missed was a lot. You missed Donald Trump at the end of the hour live. New CNN state polls just came out. This is from CNN. Donald Trump is tied in North Carolina and Nevada, and he's up in Ohio. This is from the Crescent News Network. This is from the Islamist News Network. This is from the Clinton News Network. This is from the Democrat Socialist Islamist Network. Tied in North Carolina, Nevada, up in Ohio, which means he's way ahead in those three states. I'll tell you again. I'll say it again. Conservatives, I don't know one conservative who has ever answered a poll. If I pick up a phone at home and they say that I'm coming, I hang up on them. I'm not even polite. I hang up. I hang up on the robocaller. No one I know has ever been polled. The only people polled are those who are home, meaning those 80% of the Clinton supporters who don't work. So anyway, that's it. He's up. In this hour, I want to talk again about the amazing story that was published yesterday as a result of the WikiLeaks document release. We saw the Clinton kept Michael Savage on the hate list. She wrote in her own handwriting, in her own email. We have the email. It's in the article. Here it is, from hrod17@clintonemail.com. Saturday, June 6th, 2009, 4:55 p.m. to millscd@state.gov. Subject, R.E., Savage holding pattern and next steps. Mrs. Clinton wrote, Joan makes good points. Let's hold on doing anything until we all talk. Then Cheryl Mills sent it to Jacob J. Sullivan. And what they're saying is, for those of you who can't follow this, has direct bearing on you. It's all about your freedom and freedom of speech. Here is what Clinton's legal counsel, Cheryl Mills, wrote. On Michael Savage, Joan wanted everyone to clearly understand before any further discussion occurred with UK that Savage's exclusion could also have occurred under our legal regime. So to the extent we want to suggest to UK that his exclusion on free speech grounds is inappropriate or anything of that like, that we should understand, we may appear slightly hypocritical given our legal regime and actions. I am the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain. I'm the only major member of the American media who was banned from Fox News. You would think that with a story of this magnitude at a time like this with the election hanging, wouldn't you think that the leprechaun would put down his battle axe and show people that he's a fair-minded commentator? Wouldn't you think that even the former beauty queen, Snow White, would try to show that she has a scintilla of journalistic integrity and she would try to cover this story? You would, wouldn't you? Well, don't wait too long, because neither of them are any more than what you think they are. They're empty suits and empty skirts from the top to the bottom. And I'll prove it to you right now. When this happened, when I was banned from England, I was interviewed by many, many outlets around the world, including CNN. You heard me. Even CNN came to me. And here is what went on May 7th, 2009, with CNN's American Morning.
I want to ask about this. British Home Secretary Jackie Smith saying that you're on this list that we've been talking about because you are someone who, quote, has fallen into the category of fomenting hatred of such extreme views and expressing them in such a way that's actually likely to cause inter-community tension or even violence if that person were allowed in the country. What's your response to that?
It is demented. That's a demented attitude. We are protected by the First Amendment, number one. They are not. And the First Amendment, as we all know, was written to protect offensive speech, not polite speech. Let's begin with the basics. But more than that, she lumped me in with known murderers and terrorists, people who have been in prison for killing people. I am a talk show host and an author. The fact of the matter is I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I have never, ever promoted violence. There has never been one violent incident attached to my show.
And as you said, you're being grouped in with people including anti-gay preachers, radical Muslim clerics, the Ku Klux Klan. Of all the talk radio hosts, why you?
I was astounded when I saw this. I thought it was some bizarre joke. I said, this can't be real. How in the world could she lump me in with people such as Russian skinheads who were imprisoned for killing people? It makes no sense.
Why waste your time? You know, you have a lot of things to do. You say you're probably not interested in even traveling to the UK. So why waste your time fighting this in court?
I'm not wasting my time. I've spent my entire life building up a great reputation amongst millions of loyal followers and fans. I have a family, and when I leave the earth, I want to leave my name in good standing, in the way it really is. My PhD is from Berkeley. I did great research. I've written great books. I'm a family man. I love my country. And I want to clear my name. I want my name off that list, and I want a letter of apology from this Jackie Smith.
And since this came to light, have you heard anything from the British government about whether they're rethinking this?
I have not, but I've heard from British attorneys who are salivating to set the record straight and win quite a large settlement should she not remove my name from the list.
There's a lot of British people that have never heard of you before. They didn't know Michael Savage. They didn't know your radio show before this, that are now going to be logging on the Internet, clicking on, listening to you. So, I mean, this has got to help ratings in some way.
It's not about ratings. I'm at a point in my life where ratings don't matter to me one way or the other. I could leave radio tomorrow and I wouldn't have a different lifestyle than I do today. People have to understand that I believe in what I say. Borders, language, culture is the real message of the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture. I'm a traditional American. I'm a patriotic American. And if that's a crime in England, God help us all.
Savage. I want you to compare that interview on CNN from May 7th, 2009 with the current state of media in the United States of America. I want you to ask yourself why Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, and the rest of the individuals on Fox News will not cover the story that was on the Drudge Report for the last 24 hours, and forget the fact that it was a story. What's inside the story is the story. The email from Hillary Rodham Clinton, saying she will not intervene on behalf of an American citizen who was banned from entering that country, tells you more than you need to know. It could change the course of this election. It should wake the American people up to what is at stake. We also know, and this is very important that you hear, that Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, and the others are following orders from their boss. Their boss is Rupert Murdoch. I know nothing about Rupert Murdoch other than what we read. But the fact of the matter is, we have gotten a report, the media has received a report, that Donald Trump is all in for Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm so excited right now. No, not Donald Trump. Rupert Murdoch is all in for Hillary Clinton. The world is burning. The world is burning, and Rupert Murdoch has made a decision as to which way the wind blows and who is going to be president, and he wants Hillary Clinton to win. That's what we have been reading. I can't confirm or deny that. And he has sent this edict down to Snow White and to the Leprechaun and all the others, and they're following in line, which is why they won't even cover the story about this banned in Britain business. This is a huge story. Do you have any idea that WikiLeaks is right now releasing hidden emails by the tens of thousands, and they should be changing the dialogue across the Western Hemisphere? Do you have any idea that if this is not being discussed on Fox News, that they are part of the problem, not part of the solution? Do you realize that if the Leprechaun won't touch this and Snow White won't touch this, that they are one and the same as the, quote, left-wing media, that they are no different than CNN or ABC or CBS or NBC, that they are the mainstream media? So, in other words, I'm not knocking them for that. I'm just telling you who they really are. Don't let them fool you, because you're not getting the whole truth. Don't you deserve a 360-degree analysis of what's going on in the world in which you live? So how big is this story? Is this simply self-important of me to even be talking about it? Absolutely not. Of course I'm involved in this. It's about me. Do you know any other talk show host who was banned from entering Britain? Tell me, who is that? You don't. Do you know anyone in the television media who cannot enter Britain? You don't. Why am I the only one they picked on? Why? Because I was a strong nationalist since 1994. I coined the phrase borders, language, and culture to define a nation. Why then does the New World Order, why is it the world elite chose me to ban me and put me in with the murderers and terrorists? Well, you'll have to figure it out for yourself. I went and dug up the secret documents and emails that proved that the British government was in a conspiracy to besmirch this innocent man's reputation. This is information that was kept under wraps by both Britain and America's censored Marxist media, and can now include the Fox News group with that. I am reaching out to people of all faiths. I am reaching out to people of all political parties and creeds who value their right to free speech and the sanctity of independent thought. I am about freedom of speech. It's for anyone who expects to have a voice in America should Hillary Clinton win. And that is why I went ahead and published Banned in Britain in 2009. You know, I thought this was behind me. I don't talk about it anymore, you know that. I rarely ever mention it. I'm so into the election, I'm so into Trump, I'm so into Hillary, I'm so into scorched earth, I'm so into Obama's policies. I put this behind me. But then when I said on Saturday night to my audience of people, I went on to Facebook, and I said, please go to WikiLeaks.org and search Michael Savage. See what you can find on me. I asked my audience to do it. I've been the best researchers in the country. Listen to radio day and night. I figured they could do it faster than an attorney. And lo and behold, before the night was up, they had found the smoking gun. They found an email from Hillary Clinton saying, we're not going to help him. I appealed to her. One of the first steps I took was one that wasn't pleasant to me. I had my lawyer write a letter appealing to the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton. This was mocked by some of you because I am opposed to many of Mrs. Clinton's policies, and I've said so forcefully and often. But why should that matter? One of my big objections to Hillary Clinton, after all, is that she doesn't really believe in the First Amendment or free speech. So I thought this would be her chance to prove me wrong. This would be her chance to show the world that she believes the First Amendment respects all people. This was her chance to practice equality before the law. She was, after all, at the time Secretary of State for all Americans, including me. And she actually volunteered for this position in the Obama administration. So she did obligate herself to carry out those duties, whether or not they are on behalf of friends or foes. This was Mrs. Clinton's chance to shine, but she didn't. I can go on, but I'm getting short of breath. And I don't want to lose my breath, and I don't want to get arrhythmia. I don't want to lose my breath, and I don't want to get arrhythmia. I've got to slow down. This is such a big, important point for you. Many of you don't understand what is happening and how big this is. But if you look again at this story, which is still on michaelsavage.com, it's still on worldnetdaily.com, Sharia law, Hillary kept Michael Savage on hate list. She wrote in her own email, let's hold on doing anything until we all talk, she wrote to top aides. We never heard from her again. And the reason we never heard from her again is because this group of individuals surrounding Mrs. Clinton was very, very, very analytical. And they said that if we intervene on behalf of Savage and try to get him off the exclusion list, we should remember that this also could have occurred under our own legal regime. So to the extent we want to suggest to UK that his exclusion on free speech grounds is inappropriate, we should understand we may appear slightly hypocritical given our legal regime and actions. What does that mean? In other words, the UK ban against me could happen in the US on the same grounds, according to the woman who likely will be White House counsel should Clinton be elected. Is the First Amendment important to you? I'd like to hear from some liberals who have finally awakened to what I'm talking about when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Standing up to the traitors and dunces who have stolen our freedom. You know, forgive me for being a bit of a dreamer. But, you know, during the revolution, just before the Revolutionary War, 30% of the Americans did not want to fight the British. Only 30% of the Americans wanted to fight the British. And 30% of the American people didn't even know who the British were. They didn't care. It's almost identical now. Do you realize it's only 30% of us who will stand up to this New World Order tyranny, run by men like George Soros, in my opinion, represented by the lowlifes in the highest places of government in all Western democracies? Do you realize it's as though we have been taken over by a tyranny, that we are living in a tyranny? Do you have any idea? Yeah, of course you do. That's why a man like Trump is getting as far as he is. Unknown to politics, makes one mistake after another, one gaffe after another, and no matter what they do to him, no matter how the little tiny people like Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper try to smear him, no matter how Snow White pretends her skirts are clean when they're filthier than a gutter rat, no matter how they try to smear him, he keeps rising in the polls. Do you know why? Because most Americans understand what is at stake. We are taken over by a tyranny, a new world order, a government more powerful than the British were when they took over, when they owned this nation as a colony. We are literally facing very, very similar elements that the American patriots did just before the Revolutionary War. And if you think this is all hyperbole, study your history and you'll find out what I'm talking about. In that regard, Donald Trump may be our George Washington. He may not be our Winston Churchill. As bumbling as you may think he is because of the misinterpretations put into your head by the lowlifes in the media and in the highest places of this country, he may be our George Washington, and I will cross the Delaware with him.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Irish have taken garbage from the Brits for hundreds of years, slaughtered like dogs, mercilessly shot down and tortured by the British. And let me tell you something else. They fought them tooth and nail. They didn't give up because the Irish have a fighting spirit unlike most people on the planet. But let me tell you this as well. Every man will fight when he's put in a corner and has to fight. Every man, no matter who he thinks he is, he may be a coward during most days of his life, but when he's put into a corner and his life is at stake, he will fight with everything in him to survive, because the survival instinct is the strongest instinct that we all have. Now let's talk about the election. I saw John Kerry on television yesterday. I wanted to do things that I can't even imagine people would want to do. I watched this man foment the Third World War with naked lies. I saw a man who steered contracts to his daughter through State Department. The State Department is used simply as a cash conduit for people who run the State Department, in my opinion. It is the most corrupt department of all in the United States government. Here is a man, John Kerry, who has used the power of the Secretary of State not only to steer a contract to his daughter, so don't think he's so pure. Don't think he's doing this because he actually believes in anything and he's an American who believes in the sovereignty of America. He was saying things about Russia that was so inflammatory that any previous Secretary of State would have said, John, watch it, what you're saying. Your words have consequences. You could start a war with Russia. Do you know what you're doing here? But he went on and on and on. He was calling for war crimes trials against Putin. He was saying the Russians are committing atrocities that we haven't seen anything like it since World War II against the Russian people and against Putin. And then I watched the rest of the show, and I saw that the so-called rebels that we support in Syria, who are nothing but moderate terrorists, if you even want to call them that, they may not wear the ISIS outfit, they may not wear the al-Nusra patch, but they're part and parcel of the same terrorist front. We support the, quote, moderate terrorists who are shelling a portion of the city called Aleppo, killing men, women, and children. And John Kerry says that that's not a war crime. He said it didn't even happen. When others in the news business were approached as to these atrocities being committed by the so-called U.S.-backed rebels in Syria, they said they have no information on this. When the phonies in Human Rights Watch are all front groups for the left-wing fascists in this world, when Human Rights Watch was asked about the atrocities and the murders being committed by these so-called rebels, they said at Human Rights Watch, we have no information about that. When other groups that you think are left-wing groups who represent the truth of humanitarianism were approached, they said, we have no evidence that this occurred. So there are very few of us left in this world who see what's going on, and fewer amongst those in that group who will even say it or write it. And I want to give you the quotient again. Before the Revolutionary War, which was fought against the British for American independence. Oh, we all celebrate on July 4th, don't we? Who remembers what it even is? Nobody. What, 1% of the population? You think that the illegal aliens who were here know what the July 4th celebration is? Unless it has a pinata hanging somewhere that they can bang with a bat, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. What do they care about? How about the illiterates in this country? Did anyone know what the July 4th celebration is? It celebrates independence from an oppressive, tyrannical, taxing regime. Does it sound familiar? An oppressive, tyrannical, taxing regime. Taxation without representation. Does it sound familiar? Well, now you have a government under Barry Obama who has committed one indignity against the American people after the other. Just last week, he assigned the internet to a suspicious, quote, nonprofit group in Southern California, which turned it over to a European Union-style organization. He gave away the internet without a word in the newspaper. Did you read anything about him transferring the control of the internet to a shadowy group in the European Union? You didn't read about it. You're interested in a woman that Donald Trump may have brushed against on an airplane in 1961. That's all you care about? Because your mind has been perverted by the American media. Your mind has been perverted by the people who have taken over the interlocking corporate directorships of the movie industry, the paper industry, the television industry. Take a look at it. This never should have happened. Men like Murdoch should have never been allowed to own newspapers, television companies, and movie companies all at once. There used to be laws against that. It was prohibited because they did not want to put too much power in the hands of any one individual or a few individuals or a few board members of a certain corporation. Now you understand why there is a dictatorship of the news. And now you understand what danger we are in. How does it tie into the election? It's very simple. The British were oppressing the American people when this was a colony of Britain. We were no different to them than Jamaica. We're no different to them than any one of their other vast colonies across the globe. We were a new colony with lots of natural resources and very hard-working people. And they started to tax the people at that time to death. They also gave them no power. They had no habeas corpus. The British could do whatever they wanted to the people. They could come in and sleep in their house if they wanted, put troops in their house if they wanted. There was no freedom of the press. There was no freedom of anything. The Brits did what they wanted. They treated us like, well, like we were just a colony of Britain. So enough men said, we had enough of this garbage. We are going to throw the British off our backs. And they started a movement to do so, as you know the story. But only 30% of the American people backed them. 30%, one-third. The other third wanted to stay with the British. You didn't know that. It's a little-known fact. And then there was another third that didn't know what was going on. Does that sound familiar, like the Hillary voters? Now it's probably closer to 40-40-20. About 40% don't know what's going on. 40% support the British, and 20% support American sovereignty. That's where we are today, 40-40-20. Well, I'm in the latter category. I'm one of the 20%. Hillary Clinton, enter stage left, represents the old British Empire. She is like the European Union. She represents what Angela Merkel has done to Germany. So if you want to see rapists running wild in the streets under the guise of being immigrants who are sacred, if you want to see your sovereignty dissolve under your feet, that's what you're going to get from her. That's my estimation. But let's go back to this issue of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Donald was on the show in the last hour. I had expected him Friday. He couldn't make it. He was in the air. Remember that? We were all disappointed. What that evidenced is that Donald Trump is a man of his word. I will tell you that right now. Just let me repeat it again. He came on this show, and he appeared on this show. He didn't have to appear on the show. We didn't beg him. We asked him if he'll be back, that's all. And he came on the show. I was actually talking about something else. I was talking about being banned in Britain and Hillary Clinton sending an email saying, don't help Savage. And all of a sudden, he was there, and we had to jump to an interview. And then Trump came on, and we said something that made news. Robert, what was it that Trump said that I made a note of? Do you remember that made news during that interview? Does anyone listening to this show, is there a listener who knows what Donald Trump said that made news today? Because he said something that you should remember. This should be across the banner headlines of every website and every newspaper in the world. Donald Trump said on the Michael Savage show today the following. He said that if I win on November 8th, before I am inaugurated, before the end of November, I will reach out to Vladimir Putin and try to work out a deal and make peace in this world and stop the direction that Barry Obama's taking us in. Did you hear that? I realize it was not made on O'Reilly's show, the man who writes about World War II so eloquently, but doesn't seem to live in the present very well. He lives in the past along with all of his readers. Why is that not a headline? What if one of the other people at Fox had had Donald Trump on, and he said that if I'm elected on November 8th, I'll meet with Putin before I'm even inaugurated? That's worldwide news, because he knows the danger we're in. Well, my friends, and that's news that you should remember and send all over the internet. Send it to friends around the world. We have a man of peace waiting to become president, and then we have a woman of war who wants to be president. Isn't it ironic that a, quote, liberal progressive would want war, while a so-called right-wing this and that-er wants peace? Don't you understand everything is backwards, that everything you have been taught is upside down? Don't you understand that all of the definitions are backwards right now, and that you've been hoodwinked? There's an ugly comedian who wrote a book that didn't outsell mine. My book outsold hers week after week. I find her not because she's physically unappealing, but because she's emotionally unappealing and politically unappealing. She was at a concert yesterday, and she went off on a tirade against Donald Trump, and the fans booed her and walked out of her auditorium. There's an uprising going on in this country. Even amongst the brainwashed who go to sporting events, there's an uprising. Colin Kaepernick, Colin Pimpleneck, Colin whatever he is, call him what you want, that despicable loser of a football player is destroying the NFL with his going on the knee against the national anthem. Him and the other throwbacks. Him and the other anti-American wonderful sports figures are destroying their own income. They're that stupid. All they're good for is throwing a ball. All these idiots know is how to throw a ball. They don't even know what they're doing. They're killing their own goose. They're killing the NFL. People are booing them. They're not even attending the games. And you know what? You could do the same thing. You don't have to watch a football game. People boycott all sorts of things in the media. We in the conservative news media understand it very well. We are boycotted every day. Did you know that? The three or four agencies that control the entire advertising business will not advertise on our shows. Did you know that? Did you know that we've been subjected to a blacklist for 10 or 15 years now? We're not allowed to say it, I guess. I guess that'll be censored as well. We are living through a censorship right here in talk radio. Well, you could do the same thing to your friends at the NFL. All the sponsors don't come on this show. They should. All my listeners actually buy the things. They buy the things that are sold, but they won't advertise here. Why do you never hear an ad for a car on my show? Wouldn't this be a natural audience for an automobile, since I'm a car lover? They won't advertise. They want to, but they can't. Because the four titans of advertising who control the business have boycotted the Michael Savage show. They said, don't advertise in that man's show. I am suffering with a blacklist for the entire time I've been in radio. Did you know any of that? A little story you didn't read about in the newspaper because they're not blacklisted? So why is Colin Kaepernick's NFL not being blacklisted? Why is it that an anti-American lout like him can get away with spitting on the flag and big advertisers, you name them, the soda companies, the car companies, the credit card companies, why do they still advertise on the NFL? Why? Because they cater to who? Four people who run the whole advertising business? Not the American people. Look, time is short. There's so many things going on. I cannot do all of this in one day. I was chomping at the bit to get on the air today. I couldn't wait to get on the air today. I haven't gotten one quarter, one eighth, one tenth where I wanted to go on this whole issue of the Hillary Clinton email that was exploded over the weekend through WikiLeaks. It's such a big story. And I'm not going to drop it just because I moved on to other things. They're all interconnected as far as I can read to you. Now, I wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton asking her to intervene on my behalf. Let me start with that again before I take the next break and lose my breath on this one. Listen to what I'm saying to you very carefully. It's very important you hear. I am an American citizen. Hillary Clinton is paid by taxpayer money as Secretary of State to represent all citizens, American citizens, whether she likes them or not. Instead, she represents Syrian citizens. She represents African citizens. She represents citizens of the world who may or may not be loyal to this nation, but she didn't represent me. There used to be a liberal adage. I may not agree with your opinion, but I will fight to the death your right to say it. Do you remember those days of liberalism? That's what I grew up with. All of my professors were liberals back in the 50s and 60s. And they sounded good. It was very appealing to me. They had these high-minded statements. I may not agree with you, but I will fight for the death your right to say it. Well, she didn't. They blacklisted me. And do you know why I was blacklisted? Because my language, my borders language and culture message is the opposite of their message. Hillary believes in no borders. She said so. She wants open borders and open trade. She wants the bankers to have what they want. A free movement of drugs and people across all borders. That's a loaded statement. Why does a bank want a free movement of people across borders? Don't they have children and grandchildren living on Fifth Avenue anywhere near them? Have they not looked around the streets recently? Have they stepped away from their bodyguards for 2 minutes and gotten out of their bulletproof limousines and seen what they have brought into this country? Have they not felt the sting of a box cutter?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I have very, very interesting news for the listeners out there who are hanging on my every word today. We found original hardcover copies of Banned in Britain by yours truly, which contains the email that the letter that my lawyer sent to Hillary Clinton. I called on Hillary Clinton, my letter to the Secretary of State. As you know, this is a big news story right now because WikiLeaks released her email reply to her own staff. We never heard from her. But the original letter, which I've not yet read to you, which I'll read the next hour, God, there's another hour left, is in the book on page 3. I found original hardcover copies. You can go to michaelsavage.com. Banned in Britain is available now. For those of you who can't afford a hardcover copy of the book, in the next few days we are hoping to post an ebook copy of this book for a few dollars. All of the funds will go into the Savage Legal Fund. I'm not buying new tires for my car. I'm not buying a new muffler for my car. Banned in Britain. It's the story only I can tell you. Because what is at stake is your freedom of speech. Why I was blacklisted is your reason. I'm the only member of the U.S. media ever blacklisted from a Western nation. They made me the poster child for free speech. And if you're concerned about a cultural shift towards a dictatorship and your freedom of expression under Hillary Clinton, and for people around the globe who are watching America to see where we are going, it's a very important story. I have taken an unparalleled stand for America's families. I have taken an unparalleled stand for borders, language, and culture, which is why I was targeted. MichaelSavage.com on the right side, Banned in Britain. Nowhere else that I know of. We found the books this morning. We got them up for you now. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We have tyranny breathing down our necks. But people have lived through a lot worse than what we're living through or what we will live through under Hillary Clinton. Never forget that. Look at what these people in Syria are living through right now. Without bread, without water, the children still go to school while mortars are flying around. ISIS captures their father and kills him and then rapes their mother and takes the mother and their sister into captivity. And the vermin in our media don't even show you this. The vermin in our media are so bad that they have stopped showing you who the enemy actually is. They've turned Trump into the only enemy America has. They have stopped showing you about the industrial level rape that is being conducted by ISIS in the name of their God and their religion. Did you know that? I saw a show last night showing the women fighters. I think that they were Kurdish women who said that ISIS should fear us because we have nothing to lose. Women wearing battle fatigues, holding Kalashnikovs, going in frontline battles against the lowest scum on the planet. Women on the front lines of fighting. And here we have Hillary Clinton, who's running for the office of the presidency as the champion of women's rights, who has not said one word about the women who are suffering as I speak under the yoke of rape and humiliation right now. Slavery right now. Slavery right now. Slavery and rape right now. Not one word coming out of the Hillary camp about what the so-called members of ISIS are doing to women, mainly to Christian women and Yazidi women who they capture. How could she be a champion of women if she doesn't talk about the number one atrocity going on against women? How? Well, I'll let you figure out how. So in the last hour, Donald Trump was on. He surprised me. They had told me he would be on, but I didn't tell you he'd be on because of what happened Friday. I figured, look, things change, right? And we made news together. You're not going to read about it anywhere. You're going to hear about it. Maybe I'll put it up on Facebook later. But listen to the news that Donald Trump made on this show. See, he talks like I do, extemporaneously. He doesn't have a script. This is why you like him. When he throws away the teleprompter, what you hear is the real man thinking. When is the last time Hillary Clinton threw away the teleprompter? Well, you don't want to hear what she has to say when she throws away the teleprompter. It's liable to cause heart failure across the globe. But nevertheless, Trump was on the show, and I asked him how in the world this war, these war drums that are being beaten by John Kerry, by Hillary Clinton, everywhere you turn, they seem to want World War III. Because they know that that would cover up all of their crimes and misdemeanors, number one, and it would pump money into the economy, number two. The neocons, along with the neolibs, are salivating for a war with Russia. Just think of the money that will be made. Think of the money that will be spun off on a war footing. Just think about that. Nevertheless, I asked Trump what he would do to make peace with Russia, and he said this spontaneously. He said, if I win on November 8th, I will call for a meeting with Putin before I'm even inducted into office, inaugurated. I never heard that before. That's a news story. That's how serious this all is. This is beyond rhetoric now. This is no longer Democrat versus Republican, and both of them are about the same. Oh, no. This is life under Trump and the death of freedom under Clinton. That's how I see it. That's how I've seen it from the beginning. It's the opening chapter to Scorched Earth. Life under Trump, death under Clinton. It's more real now than it was ever before. And the big story on the Drudge Report all weekend was from WorldNet Daily on how Hillary Clinton refused to use her power and influence as Secretary of State to get an unfair ban lifted for the most important voice in the conservative movement, Michael Savage. She personally nixed my chance to be able to travel to this nation. She refused to defend my free speech rights. And why did she do it? And I will tell you why. Because her and her friends plan to go further than even Obama in stifling the voices of anyone who opposes her. This is a very dangerous time that we're entering, because she will not just stop with Michael Savage. She will not stop with Donald Trump. She won't stop with Julian Assange. She will go after you too. When they came for the Jews, I did not raise my voice, said Marshall Niemöller, because I was not a Jew. When they came for the communists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a communist. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a trade unionist. And when they came for me, there was no one left to defend me. That's Reverend Niemöller from Germany in the 1930s. He wound up in a concentration camp. You understand the unity of what I just said to you? I hope so. I hope so. I hope you understand it. Because everything you've ever said politically, that you've ever published on Facebook or Twitter, or even put into your emails, is now going to be available for all the world to see. Obama has created the greatest spy agency in the history of the world. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of people on the left. He has now ceded control of the internet from the United States to the rest of the world, and no one is safe anymore. The Democrats are in an all-out assault on our free speech rights. They scream about Citizens United and what a travesty it is. And why is that? Why is that such a big deal? Well, you can figure out why, because it doesn't help them seize even more power. I've written about that, and I've talked about that, the Citizens United case. Remember when Facebook temporarily blocked me because I posted stories about a Muslim migrant killing a pregnant woman in Germany? Remember I linked that story? A Muslim killed a pregnant woman in Germany, and Zuckerberg's minions said it was a violation of their community standards. Now, you know, Zuckerberg is a big Clinton backer. Combine all of this with what we now know, that Hillary Clinton could have helped stop my ban from Britain, but chose to side with those that want to censor speech. This is a threat to all of us, because all of our conversations and all of our ability to speak freely is in the air right now. And it won't be long until that's not enough for them. They won't just come for your speech. This is how a civilization falls, and we are on the brink of losing it all. My opening dedication to Scorched Earth is really a beautiful one that I found in my reading before I published it. It was from an unknown French scholar named André Pigeonniot. He wrote, "Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated." Life under Trump, death under Clinton. Hillary Clinton, crime and no punishment. There's more in there. It's why the book is 4 weeks on the New York Times list. I want to give you a heads up of what's coming on Wednesday. Of course, you all know that this is the third and final debate. You also know it's being run by Meatloaf Jr., another unreliable sneak from Fox News. Meatloaf Jr. is better known as Chris Wallace. And I told Donald Trump, I suggested something to Donald Trump live on the show. I said to him, "Mr. Trump, did you know Mike Wallace?" He said, "Yes, I knew him very well. He treated me very fairly on, I think he said 60 Minutes, right?" I said, if Meatloaf Jr., and that, I call Mike Wallace's boy, Chris Wallace, Meatloaf Jr., because there's a famous story of Mike Wallace in his later years. In his limo, he was in Manhattan, and he picked up a lunch. The driver got him the meatloaf, and he came out, and a cop had given him a ticket. And Mike Wallace went into a tirade and threw the meatloaf in the container The meatloaf went flying across the sidewalk. So I always call him Meatloaf for that, and his son is Meatloaf Jr. I don't know what the boy eats. I have no idea. But by the sneer on his lips, that sneer on his face tells you everything. And since he's a puppet of Murdoch, and Murdoch's all in with Hillary, according to all reports that I'm reading, I expect Meatloaf Jr. to pull a Snow White on Trump. You know who Snow White is, don't you? That's Mrs. Clean Skirts, Mrs. Beauty Queen in her own eyes. So he's going to pull some kind of, like, "Have you stopped beating your wife?" on Trump. That's what Sneak is going to do. Now, he's supposed to be the conservative, mind you. Don't you love it? The last one was the Snake Anderson stupor. What a disgrace he made of himself. He always was a nothing. Came from a shady mother with a bad background. A rich boy, wears tight pants, and they gave him fake glasses. I never expected more from Blooper, never. But he topped even what I thought he would do. I never knew that the scintilla of testosterone that was left in Blooper's body would be used to attack Trump. I didn't even know he had any testosterone in him. But whatever remnant of testosterone was in Blooper's body, like a spit viper, he spit it at Trump. He found it. He marshaled it up from his bowels. He marshaled up a drop of testosterone, and he raged at Trump. I could just imagine what Meatloaf is going to do with the residuals of the lipids that are in the body somewhere on Trump this Wednesday. So I said to Donald, I said, "Did you know Mike Wallace?" "Yes, he was a good man." Blah, blah. So I said, "Here's the way to get Meatloaf Jr." And I hope Meatloaf is listening, because Trump may do this to you, Meatloaf Jr. He should say to him, look, I knew your father, Mike Wallace, and he would never have stooped to this level. He was a real newsman and a real journalist. Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" See, a guy like Meatloaf Jr. is in his father's shadow. He's on a marginal network. He's nowhere near his father's status. So if he ever said that to him, he'd shrink him down like into a green pea size. But that's what Trump may or may not do. Now, here's the heads up I'm giving you. From an inside source, nobody knows this but me in the media. On Wednesday, there is going to be a blockbuster 9-page story coming out in the National Enquirer about Hillary Clinton that could change the course of human events. I can't even tell you who's releasing it. I can't tell you who wrote it. But I will tell you this. Someone in her inner circle turned on her. Write it down. You just learned that on the Savage Nation. Somebody in Hillary's inner circle turned on her. And there is a 9-page expose of all of the dirt that you could ever, ever want, and then some, coming out Wednesday in the National Enquirer. Now you say, oh, come on, that's an unreliable source. The National Enquirer is not as good as, what, the New York Times? Not as biased as the New York Times? Not as biased as the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal? All owned by oligarchs? You know, do I have to say Rosebud? All I have to do is say Rosebud, and you know what I'm talking about here if you saw Citizen Kane. They're all biased. They're just biased outlets, that's all. So Wednesday, there's going to be a blockbuster story. Then there's going to be the debate. Can you imagine this, what's going to go on Wednesday night with Meatloaf Jr., Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton? Can you imagine what's going to come up on Wednesday night? And never forget the stories coming out Wednesday. Okay, again, when I come back, we are in another spot on the show now where I do have to take a commercial break. Can I invite you to go after the break, because you have to listen to the ads. I'm sorry. They pay my bills, and they keep me on the air, and they're the only link that I have between survival and not being on the air. The Banned in Britain book I mentioned, which I'd long forgotten, we found copies of it. It is available now on michaelsavage.com in fresh hardcover copies. In a few days, we're going to have a very inexpensive ebook available. It's very important that this be seen right now, because it's all about you. It's all about freedom of speech. I'm going to read you something. Here is Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson is now a big shot in the British government. In fact, he was seen marching with Kerry into 10 Downing Street condemning Putin the other day. I couldn't believe this. There was Boris. You know the guy with the weird haircut? The weird hair makes Donald Trump look like a crew cut? Boris Johnson with the forward. I mean, Boris Johnson is like a certified like weirdo. He's a likable weirdo. In the British fashion, you know, the heavy drinking, Churchillian kind of Cambridge-like speech. We all love that. With the weird haircuts. Why the Brits have bad haircuts and bad dental workers? It's a matter of, that's something for a social commentator, not me. Bad dental work and bad haircuts. But Boris Johnson, who was a journalist for the London Telegraph at the time, said this. He said, the ban against Savage makes us look so infantile, so pathetic. What are we, some sort of kindergarten that needs to be protected against these dangerous American radio shows? I wonder what Boris Johnson would have to say today. What do you think, Robert? You think he'll have anything to say today?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, here's a vintage interview that's not been heard for 7 years. It's extremely important that you hear it. I was interviewed by CNN, which I played for you in the last hour. I was also interviewed by Sky News out of Britain, discussing my being banished, or banned, you want to put it that way. Listen to clip 3. It's 2 minutes long on the Savage Nation.
I had never applied to travel to the UK, which is the odd part. Where did Jackie Smith get my name from is the issue. But a terrible injustice has been done. She said behaviors. I'm a talk show host. There's nothing about my behavior. I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day. If those allegations that she made about me were true, I wouldn't be on the air in America. Moreover, she put me on a list with a Hamas murderer who bashed in the head of a 4-year-old child in Israel. How in the world can she equate speaking with killing?
It's all to do with unacceptable behavior. Do you acknowledge that some of your comments on your show, on your website, stir up tension?
Behavior is different than speaking, is it not? You're the land of the Magna Carta, where there is freedom of speech. How do you equate murder with speaking?
Well, when you say you believe that your comments were taken out of context, I mean, the quote that's been used is that you advocated killing Muslims, and various quotes that I've pulled up, Muslims need deporting.
Totally ridiculous. Nobody would say that. It was in the context of the Mumbai bombing, where I suggested what happens if a radical Muslim faction gets a nuclear weapon and we're faced with the Hobson's choice. Would you rather that they die or the Western nation die? That's quite different than the allegation that Jackie Smith made.
Savage. Do you hear what I just said? Please, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is not a live audience. If it was, did you hear what I just said? Do you realize I said that in 09? What if a radical Muslim faction got their hands on a nuclear device? Would you rather see they die or a Western nation die? Do you understand how prescient that was? Do you understand how suicidal Britain was even then? Now, we in America were not suicidal at the time. We have become semi-suicidal at this time. And if the Pied Piper, who you seem to love on the other side, wins, she will take us over the cliff from which we will never return. Take a look at Europe and see if they can ever come back from their foolishness. I doubt it. So everything is at stake. When I come back on the Savage Nation, your calls at 855-407-282 and the latest news, views, and reviews and my original letter to Hillary Clinton.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
If I win on November 8th, I think I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration.
Me, but then they surprised me. I have the best staff in the history of radio. Sometimes. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Trump made news today. I'll meet with Putin before January 20th if I win. The story is up on WorldNet Daily. Art wrote it while the kettle was still cold. I can't believe this. See, this is the beauty of living in our age, where you have the internet, where you have instant ability to communicate. This is so different than what I grew up with. Forget what I grew up with. I remember when I wrote my first book, well, one of my first books, it was like my sixth book called Maximum Immunity. It was in like six languages, very big book, very important. And my publisher at the time was Houghton Mifflin out of Boston. They were a big, big, important publisher. And I remember meeting with my publisher, lovely lady, old guard, New Englander. You know, you had confidence the minute you met her. You know she was good all over. And we had lunch in a great fish house in Boston. In the days when you'd go to be publishers, remember those days? Those of you who write, well, it's still done, I guess. The big publisher lunches were just great. So we have lunch, and she loved the book. It was a big hit. And she said, you know, Michael, you are a natural radio talk show host. I said, what? I wasn't on the radio at the time. We're talking about what? What year was this? I don't even remember anyway. 83. So she said, well, you'd be great on radio. I said, why? She said, because your mind is so fast that you need instant communication and instant feedback. Boy, was she right. Who knew? So Trump says, I'll meet with Putin before January 20th if I win. GOP nominee tells Savage tensions worse since Cold War. In an interview Monday with Talk Radio host Michael Savage, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump said if he wins in November, he might meet with Russian leader Vladimir Putin prior to the inauguration. It sounds like the end of an ad. Although then do not apply. Sales do not apply. Trump noted relations with Russia widely regarded as worse than any time since the Cold War. Tensions over fighting ISIS in Syria, Eastern European independence, a rise in cyber breaches and accusations that Moscow is trying to influence the U.S. elections. I'm reading out of New York Speed right now. It's how I normally would talk when I was younger. But now that I am in radio, I must speak at a normal pace. The article goes on. The problem is Putin has no respect for Obama at all, said Trump, a frequent guest in the Savage Nation. You have potentially a really catastrophic situation here. I'll be honest with you, he continued. If I went in November 8th, I could see myself meeting with Putin and meeting with Russia prior to the start of the administration. In an interview in August, Trump told Savage, where is this? I'm jumping. In an interview in August, Trump told Savage the policies of President O and HC towards Russia have prompted something worse than the Cold War, with Moscow building up arms while the U.S. depletes its military. Savage has described his latest book, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, as an architectural plan for Trump. Okay. And he warned that Democrats will try to fix the election, describing them as an evil, 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 brilliant gang with unlimited resources. You know, I told something to Donald Trump, and he didn't respond, and I know why he didn't. He should. I mean, in a way, they would have nailed him to a cross if he did. But did you hear what I said to him? Can you raise your hand if I said to him, what did you hear what I said to him during the interview? Can you raise your hand, please? I imagine the live audience. I see all of you out there, the many, many, many thousands of you sitting in the tent. I said to Donald Trump about, 2 hours ago now, 1:30, yeah. I said, what they're lining up is the following. If you should win the election, which you're liable to do, they're going to say that Russia did a cyber attack on the system, and it's a faulty election, and they're going to declare the election null and void. He didn't answer me. I'm telling you what they're doing. I can read the tea leaves. I can read the signals in advance. This has been an orchestrated campaign of lies that started with the genius who runs DHS. You know, the man who's permitted one terror attack after another and hasn't lost his job, who started to say that Russia is hacking our voting booths and that we should turn the election over to DHS. Do you remember that? Remember Jay Johnson said we should turn the election over to him? And he backtracked the very next day, and he said, I didn't mean turn it over. I meant we should protect our voting system. Remember that? Now every day we hear that Russia's hacking, hacking, hacking. What they're setting you up for is that if Trump wins, which is highly probable, or let's say could happen, let's put it that way. If Trump wins, this corrupt establishment, the new British dictatorship, is going to declare the election null and void. They're going to say that Russia hacked the election, and as a result, the election is null and void, and they're going to nullify the election, and they're going to hold a new election in 1 year. And until that time, Barack Obama has agreed to hold on to this position for the safety of America and the world until we can have a new election called. You think it can't happen? You say it can't happen here? My friends, it's happening here right in front of your eyes. Just the other day, the sneak in the White House, the demon in the White House, Barry Obama called the media a wild, wild west media culture that permits climate skepticism. He said it's a wild, wild west. There should only be three media outlets like there were in the 1950s. Are you listening to me? Listen to what this man said the other day. He said he wanted to create so-called curators of the news to make sure that everything that the American people heard in the news was verifiable and accurate. So in other words, he wants an absolute Soviet control of the media. Let's play that clip 05, Robert. They have to hear it in the voice of tyranny itself.
We're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function that people agree to.
Oh boy.
You know, I use the analogy in politics. It used to be there were three television stations and Walter Cronkite's on there, and not everybody agreed, and there were always outliers who thought that it was all propaganda and we didn't really land on the moon, and
now
all this
see?
Is still alive and
reducto
so forth.
Ad absurdum.
Generally that was in, you know, the papers that you bought at the supermarket, right, as you were checking out. And generally people trusted a basic body of information.
Meaning controlled by the government. And I gave a speech, beware the government media complex. So he now wants a government-controlled media, the way they had in the Soviet Union under Stalin. But it's from a nice guy who speaks well, who has a nice suit. He has a lovely wife, and he has nice children. He can't be like Stalin, can he? He's different. You can trust him, can't you? You could trust Barack Obama. He's not Stalin. He just created the greatest spy agency the world has ever seen, but he's a nice guy. He won't abuse it, right? Okay. So he wants to sort through the information. He doesn't say how. Here's clip 6 of your president, Barack Obama, talking about censorship and total control of the media. Listen.
There has to be, I think, some sort of way in which we can sort through information that passes some basic truthiness tests, and those that we have to discard because they just don't have any basis in anything that's actually happening in the world.
Stop.
And that's
for a
hard
you
to
realize
do.
What he's saying. What do you mean? We have to sort through information that passes some basic truthiness test. Who will be the judge of what is truthful and what is false? Why, people he that he hires. And what will he discard, and how will he discard it? The whole object of freedom of the press and the whole object of freedom of speech is what? So that the individual can discard or accept what they determine to be useful or intelligent or true, and reject that the opposite on their own. That's considered what freedom is. That's what freedom of the press is all about. Am I making my point clear today, or is it go? I don't know. I don't know what people want to hear anymore. How much can you take is what I think I'm hearing coming back from the great void of the audience. The great void of the audience. The great void that doesn't know anything and doesn't want to hear anything except Democrat, Republican. And which starlet had a costume distress on Sunset Boulevard, as Murdoch has planted in your mind. Every day and in every way, planting in your mind, one thing after the other, sex, sex, sex. So what does the Bible say? Oh, leave that alone. Don't go into the Bible now. Come on, Savage. Don't go off the tracks now. What is the story about? Well, I have said that the leadership of this country is satanic. Let's not say Barack himself is satanic. Let's just say that he is a monstrous egomaniac who thinks he can do no harm and knows everything. He knows all truths and knows what's best for the people. And he will determine what is true and what is false and what can be heard and what can be not heard, what can be read, what can be not read, what can be written, what cannot be written. Because he's good. Well, if that's not the mark of a madman, I'd like to know what is. If that's not a true deplorable, I'd like to know what a true deplorable is. So now let's go into my calling on Hillary, my letter to the Secretary of State, or shall I save it for tomorrow, hour one? I think I'll save it for tomorrow, hour one. I'm a little tired right now. I'll be honest with you. I'm exhausted. I've just gotten tired. It's too much for me. There's too much information for me. It's too stressful for me right now. I'm too much on the front lines of this battle for the survival of America. And you know what? I want to walk off the front line for a few minutes. Let someone else sit up there and watch with the binoculars. Let somebody else sit on the watchtower for a few hours and talk about what Hillary Clinton has done to one honest man and why he was blacklisted and the cultural shift in the United States of America towards totalitarianism and our rights to freedom of expression. Let someone else talk about this fundamental problem and about this gangster government. I can go back to this gangster government under Barack Obama, and I can go all the way back to the beginning when he passed a thing called TARP. Anyone remember those initials, that acronym? Remember TARP? When Barry came to power, he forced TARP through Congress a second time so that it passed. And the premise was that the money would be used to buy up toxic assets. Anyone remember that? Raise your hand if you... Oh, why not TARP? Isn't that something they use in a campground, TARP? Yeah, campground, TARP. No. But Henry Paulson was making things up as he went along and really had no idea what to do about the economy. He just wanted a lot of money to experiment with. And by the time he actually got the authorization, his plans had changed. And he decided that what was needed was for the Treasury Department to get a controlling interest in the banks. And so what happened next is very interesting. To give a strong start to his plan to take over the economy, Paulson summoned the CEOs of the 9 largest banks to meet with him at a conference room in the Treasury Department, and on Monday, October 13, 2008, that was the date. And there they were surprised to be seated at a table in alphabetical order across from Paulson, Bernanke, Tim Geithner, who was then the chairman of the New York Federal Reserve, and probably already assured to be Paulson's successor in the Obama administration, and a woman named Sheila Bair, B-A-I-R, the chief of the FDIC. And they were each handed a single-page document that agreed to sell shares to the government and were told they were not leaving until they signed it. The main holdout was the chairman of Wells Fargo, Richard Kovacevic, who did not want or need any money from the federal government. Nevertheless, he was forced to sign the agreement by 6:30, like all the other CEOs. According to the New York Times, what happened during those 3.5 hours is a story of high drama and brief conflict, followed by acquiescence by the bankers, who felt they had little choice but to go along with the Treasury plan to inject $250 billion of capital into thousands of banks, starting with theirs. Deborah Solomon, who broke the story, gave this answer to the question of how Paulson convinced them all to do it. And I'm not going to read it to you. You can find it in Banned in Britain on page 148, and I advise you to read it. The writer said that a mafia moment is a joke, but she is wrong. She knows full well and has told us that a powerful office holder in the federal government used his position to force a bank CEO to give him ownership. If we were not a corrupt banana republic already, we became one of the moment. One, the moment this event became widely known, and the authorities and media shrugged it off as something to joke about. It later turned out that Paulson and Bernanke had already had a chance to practice their gangsterism. Back on September 16th, one of the many financial deals cobbled together to protect the economy was Bank of America's acquisition of Merrill Lynch. That $50 billion deal was completed so fast that everyone was sure that the Federal Reserve must have pressured it. I can read on and on. Do you know where this is found? Do you know where this story about the financial takeovers is found? It's found in an obscure book called Banned in Britain. Now you understand the rest of the story and why I, Michael Savage, am the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain. Because not only do I know the truth, but I tell the truth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It was to follow the British Medical Association's advice of 5 absolute ounces of alcohol an evening. Yeah, the British Medical Society used to recommend 5 absolute ounces a day. And the American Medical Association, being more timid, used to recommend 2 a day. Well, I used to follow the British advice, and that until I was banned in England. And then I started to follow the Russian medical advice on how many ounces a day. But now it's down to very, very little because I'm really dead sober on all of this stuff. Oh, I used a bad word there on that one. No, I don't mean sober either. No, there's nothing wrong with me that an Irish bar wouldn't cure. But the problem is the sentiment in Irish bars today is not what you may think it is. Probably very left-wing, very Democrat, very Hillary. Yeah, you'd be surprised. It's like every time you see a cop going by, you think that they're going to vote Republican and Trump. You're wrong. They're going to vote what they think is best for their pensions. And that's the way of the world. And that's the world as it is. Banned in Britain. Well, we made news today on the show. Trump the Savage. I'll meet with Putin before January 20th if I win. That's a news story. And there is nothing more I can do for you. I have left my heart on the stage.